Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Kentucky and West Virginia AFL-CIOs. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today, we've got Dan Duncan. He's with the Maritime Trades Department. Dan, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back, especially on this day when we're going to see Washington gridlock firsthand in the next few hours. It's National Christmas Tree Lighting Day, and the road closures have already started.
You know, it is amazing to me that they go out and they find, you know, some of these most just absolutely gorgeous trees, but they drop. You know, what's Marine One doing right now? Well, you know, I mean, come on.
No. The National Christmas Tree is a live tree. It's planted in the ellipse, so you can't go there. I mean, our good
more.
Union members with the Park Service take good care of that tree.
I'm starting to think.
Just a matter of real Washington gridlock today.
Yeah, okay.
All over the place.
Yeah, and we're playing whack-a-ninny out of the White House. My God. Dan, I gotta ask you a question, man. You know, it as somebody from Northern Virginia, you're not right in D.C., but you're darn sure close enough. You know, we've got silliness coming out of the White House that just gets sillier and sillier all the time. I mean, at what point in time is Congress going to go, whoa, time out?
I don't know. You know, maybe we can all wish for common sense this holiday season.
Yeah,
as you well know, we're dealing with the craziness of the Jones Act situation, with all kinds of lies and fabrications coming out, no matter the fact that American mariners on American ships and tugs are delivering goods every single day, nonstop to Puerto Rico.
And let's explain this real quick. The Jones Act says if you're going to pick up freight in an American port, and you're going to take it to another American port, okay? Yeah, let's say Newport, Virginia, down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that you're going to do it on an American freighter, you're going to use an American crew, and it's going to be a flagship owned by an American company.
Absolutely.
I mean, at what point in time is that a problem?
We don't see it as a problem.
I don't think any reasonable, rational person in this country would see that as a problem either.
And in fact, similar laws are in more than 40 nations around the world, so it's not just an American law.
Doesn't it make it easier for Homeland Security to, like, keep an eye on some of the ships coming into the country?
Far, far better for them. I don't know about the word easier, but far, far better, because any American mariner has to be vetted by the Coast Guard before they get their documents.
Right.
And so that means that anything that's sailing on the Mississippi or the Ohio in the American ports on the tugboats and stuff, they're American mariners who've been vetted.
Now, why would we have a ship come from another country with another crew that's owned by another country that's going to be paying taxes to somebody else?
If it pays taxes.
If they're not pirates, arg.
No, not going there. But in a lot of these cases with these foreign flag shipping companies, I mean, there's a lot of legitimate ones, but there's some that's illegitimate. And we just, every day we get hear about cases around the world where mariners are left stranded by somebody who's gotten the money and then will not pay their crew and leave the crew tied up with no fuel, no food, no nothing. And the mariners are there to try to find a way to get back home.
And how many times have you guys bailed out foreign nationals from other in that situation? I know you guys have done it enough.
Charles, sadly, the American Maritime Union's working with Canadians, working with the International Transport Workers Federation. This happens weekly. Sometimes it happens in an American port. Most times it happens in foreign ports. But we're there to stand with our brother and sister mariners who are left high and dry.
Yeah, there you go. You know, one of the things that I found very silly was there were actually some people saying that it was costing more to ship products into Puerto Rico because of the Jones Act. And they said, oh, if you're going to ship a car to Puerto Rico, it's going to cost you $4,000. Now, when I was stationed in Germany as a GI, if you wanted to bring a car back to the United States from Germany, just shipping costs alone was $5,000. Now, if you're telling me that it costs $3,000 to ship a car from the United States to Puerto Rico, and that's $3,000, that sounds like a pretty good deal. But what would one of the non-U.S. flagged shippers charge you to ship that same car from the United States to Puerto Rico?
Well, to be honest with you, I really don't know the rates, and I don't know the rate structures or anything like that. But one of the things that can be done if you're shipping from an American port to a Puerto Rican port is that there's a regular service. Right now, because of the emergency down there, it's a daily service running back and forth and back and forth. So every day a ship comes in. If you're doing it on a foreign flag vessel, you have no idea when the ship may come in, because it may go from an American port to a port in South America, to a port in Central America, to a port in the islands, to Puerto Rico before it comes, you know, before you get your vehicle or container or whatever. So the difference is with a Jones Act fleet, there is regular daily service between an American ports and Puerto Rico. So again, the rates vary about what's being picked up and all that. And I'll be honest, you know, you're saying 3,000. I don't know if that's the case or not, but the situation is that at least with an American ship, when they say it's going to be there, it's going to be there instead of sailing all over the eastern or all over the Atlantic.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, it's not like the non-U.S. flagged ships aren't going to charge you for the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, it's silliness all the way around. Leaving an American port, going to an American port, it should be an American flagged ship, should be an American crew.
Yep.
And they should be paying taxes in the United States. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Yep, yep. And another thing, and I'm sure you've heard about this and we've talked about before, is the we've been very involved with the teachers union and AFSCME and others with Operation Agua to help people down there. And if folks still haven't looked at the American Federation of Teachers website, you please need to do that, because this is a very important program that's been put together by Randy Weingarten to supply individual water purifiers for the people of Puerto Rico. And at this holiday season, I can't think of a better gift to give somebody than donate $30 and buy a purifier for somebody who badly needs clean drinking water down there.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how much unions are getting into and have been doing things like that. Operation Agua, Operation Warm from the firefighters, Coats for Kids. You know, Habitat for Humanity, if it wasn't for the building trades, they'd have a lot of problems getting the professionals to come in and get the big stuff done. You know, I got to say, I'm so glad that you guys are helping out with that.
Well, they reached out to us during the convention in St. Louis and told us what was going on, us being the maritime unions, and we've been able to jump in and help them. The teachers found Kohler making union-made water purifiers, and like I said, their goal is to raise $3 million. It costs $30 to buy one. Individual contributions can be taken. And you just know that you're helping somebody who's in desperate need down there with a simple $30 donation, and you know where it's going to.
Right. And so far, there's been 100,000 units placed with people in Puerto Rico.
That's their goal. That's their goal, Charles. So far, they've raised more than $1 million. The goal is to get 100,000 of them down there, as well as larger ones for schools and for civic facilities, so that people can have fresh, clean water.
I will reach out to the AFT and see if we can't get them on board.
That would be wonderful to help get the publicity out and people. But people can simply go to the American Federation of Teachers website. When it comes up, there's a button where you can just go to Operation Agua, learn all about it right there.
There you go. Dan, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. How do we find out more?
Find out more about the maritime trades by looking at our website, maritimetrades.org.
There you go. You can get an 8x10 of Dan Duncan.
We don't want to scare people this time of year.
Dan, always a pleasure. We appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Bye-bye. It was Dan Duncan of the Maritime Trades. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.